GAA on Off the Ball.
Now, Daniel, well, very welcome back. So, 4 hours, 57 minutes of goodness served up by Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer yesterday at Wimbledon. We'll talk to the brilliant Luke Jensen later on about that. But first, we're talking Super 8's weekend one. We have Billy Joe Paddon with us. You're there, Billy Joe?
I sure am.
Good man. Kieran Donaghy, you're there?
I am, Joe. How's the farm, mate?
It's very well. I'm sure it's good down in Killarney and Kerry after the weekend. So, Roscommon beaten by Tyrone on the Saturday evening, and then Dublin 5-18 to Cork's 1-17. Followed on Sunday by Meath beating, losing to Donegal 2-19 to 1-13 in the end, and Kerry 1-22 to Mayo's 15 points. We'll start with the game in Killarney. Next weekend, we have Cork against Tyrone, we have Dublin against Roscommon, and then on the Sunday, Mayo will try to bounce back against Meath, and Kerry Donegal already shaping up to be game of the weekend. So I think on the whole, it's worth remarking, Kieran, this time last year, we had the first round in Croke Park. It was a bit anemic, it was a bit dull. There were empty seats all around Croke Park, whereas this weekend in provincial grounds, the sunshine was out. I think we got a little glimpse of how the Super 8s could work very well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we did. We talked about it here on the show before. You know, this is what it's about. It's getting good crowds into venues that can make the game exciting for both the fans and the players. And I think players raise their game when the atmosphere is at its highest. And I think the problem with Croke Park last year was it was pretty dead for them first round of games because inevitably people didn't travel in much, you know, style because, you know, everybody said, oh, well, we have two more games anyway, no matter what happens in Croke Park. So I think they made the tweak last year of giving the provincial winners their home game this year. And I think the tweak if they make next year is to take that Croke Park round or whatever they're calling it out and just make it a neutral round and take games to more suitable venues. It's not a big change, but it makes for I was in Hyde Park on Saturday. Like, it was a great atmosphere. There was, I think there was 17,000 at it. But it was buzzing and both teams played well. Whereas I think if you took that to Croke Park, you know, I fear for the game. But, you know, it definitely made a big difference. And it was a great atmosphere in all provincial venues the weekend with obviously Killarney hopping. The Hyde Park was hopping. You know, Croke Park was the only doubtful one. That's because it was Dublin and Cork and it was only 30,000 there, I think. So. Yeah, that's the one we have to watch out for.
So how good was this Kerry performance then? Put this into context for us. Like, it seemed like the best performance in a number of years.
Please don't accuse me of Yera Yera, but I just feel that Mayo were way off it. They were tired, they looked poor, and Kerry were opposite. Kerry played well, but they were given a huge platform by David Moran in the middle of the field. They were given a huge platform from Mayo constantly. They kicked 11 balls away in the first half into the Kerry full back line. That's 11 more possessions for Kerry if you consider their dominance in the middle of the field. And Kerry did what Kerry will do if they win a lot of ball around the middle and have control of the game, because we have the forwards up front. Look, it was perfect world stuff for Kerry. But I think that we'll see a much truer place where Kerry are on Sunday if they can put in a good performance against this Donegal team. It will be good for confidence, but I think the players will know deep down that, you know, Mayo were tired. They're missing three of their best players. If you look at Durkin and Dermot O'Connor and these guys that are out, Matty Ran in the middle of the field, Aidan O'Shea is carrying a knock, Lee Keegan's carrying a knock. You know, and I think they kind of had the premise that we'll kick it into the Kerry full back line and we'll expose their full backs. But Kerry have got good pacey players in there. And when they tried to kick it in, Kerry fellas were beating them out in front. And, you know, and Kerry laid down the marker at the start of the game. Dave Moran laid it down himself and the four lads went to war before there was a ball thrown in. And it set a good tempo for the game and it set a good tone. I think it set a good a tone for the Kerry players and the Kerry fans in Fitzgerald Stadium. And once we were dominant and winning so much ball, we were always going to cause them trouble up front.
The game was killed in a 22-minute period where Kerry scored 10 of 11 points. Mayo went 16 minutes without a score as well. Billy Joe, did you go along with that? Did Mayo flatter, or you know, Kerry kind of flatter to deceive a touch? Mayo made them look much better than they actually were?
It's possible, but I suppose it'd be... I don't think it'd be right for me to say that the reason Kerry looked so good was because Mayo were poor. I think Kieran's right that the real tempo setter was that physicality that Kerry brought to the game early on. And it's something that they haven't been able to do against Mayo in the past. And they're obviously determined that wasn't going to be the case on Sunday and that they were really going to front up. And they did. And you see then what skills a Kerry team has when they are as physical as their opponents. But I think there's another element to it as well, and that we'd always said that Mayo maybe in the past had an advantage in the middle third in terms of that athleticism. Okay, you have to factor in the key athletes that Mayo were missing there in Dermot O'Connor and Paddy Durkin. But if you look at the players that are establishing themselves for Kerry, whether it be, you know, Gavin White, Tom O'Sullivan, Adrian Spillane in the middle of the field, real athletic players, and they put in a big shift. And they went some way in terms of bridging that gap in terms of being able to move that ball through the middle third really quickly. And then when you have somebody like David Clifford and Paul Ganey in the full forward line, and when you have a situation where Kerry got the tactics right as well with playing seven defenders, which opened up more space in their own forward line, because Mayo were kind of in two minds as to whether to leave Cullen Boyle as a real deep sweeper or try and bring him up the field where the rest of his teammates were. Mm. And they just got caught between two stools. And then you saw the kick passing ability, particularly from David Moran, where he was pinpointing balls in front of David Clifford.
Yeah.
And it's very, very difficult for anyone in a full back line to survive in that situation. And they didn't.
Yeah, it was hard not to feel sorry for Brendan Harrison at certain points in that game. On Moran's dominance, right, he was phenomenal, Billy Joe. He was utterly phenomenal. Mm-hmm. There was that point he kicked in the first half where he cut inside his man, way out. 99% of players would fist pass it on, and he just rifled it over the bar. Brilliant score, utter dominance. Like, there, a few things jump out at you about Mayo, given the experiences in the team that they didn't do. So, first off, like, there was such a ferocious pace to that game, and Mayo never once decided to just keep the ball for 5 minutes and just completely take the sting out of it. Now, maybe they couldn't. Maybe Kerry were too on top for them to do that. But that jumped out, because Mayo do that. Like, they can keep ball. But secondly, so 9 of 17 restarts in the first half. Anytime Clark went short, there seemed to be a turnover. He went long and David Moran seemed to catch the ball cleanly. Explain to me, Billy Joe, why at this level an Aidan O'Shea or a somebody is not saying to himself, right, this is getting ridiculous. The next time Moran goes up into the air, I'm going to smash the ball down. I'm going to break the ball. He's not catching it clean, and I'm going to give him something to think about as well, and, you know, give him a bit of a wallop as well, because that's frankly how life works at this level. I was really surprised those two things didn't happen, that Moran wasn't giving him more of a smash in midfield, and that Mayo didn't keep ball for a stage.
I think you're right on both counts on the two topics that you bring up there, in that we talk a lot about kick-out strategies and how refined they are now in the modern game, but sometimes a good team like Kerry will just limit your ability to get a short kick-out, and then the ball has to go long. And it's as simple as this. Mayo were physically dominated throughout that first half on practically every long kick-out that went out there, whether they were landing on top of Aidan O'Shea or whether they were landing on top of Donal Vaughan. Mayo, it was unacceptable in many ways that the Kerry players, whether it be Spillane or David Moran, were actually catching the ball clean. What you would have at least expected was the ball to be breaking down and then give the opportunity to whoever is there, Stephen Cohen or Lee Keegan, to pick up the break and try and gather possession that way. But it was just complete and utter midfield dominance on every facet that Kerry had in that period. And I felt sorry for David Clark in goals, wondering where he's going to put this next kick out, because he had no confidence going anywhere. Now, the funny thing about that is Mayo and Aidan O'Shea in particular had much better second half, but maybe that's as a result of the Kerry midfield taking their foot off the gas a little bit. But the first point to make is probably the one that stands out to me the most, particularly in that second quarter, because Mayo still, after a really breathless opening first 15 minutes in real hot conditions, and Mayo coming off the back of a number of tough games and Kerry fresh, Mayo still persisted with trying to play these quick diagonal balls into the Kerry full back line and just kept giving the ball away. Where you're exactly right, what Mayo needed to do there was take the sting out of the game, move it left-right. It's something that they have done in the past really well against high-quality opposition, in particular Dublin, where you're just frustrating them. And if anything, it's nearly a defensive tactic that you're just taking time off the clock. And it just killed Mayo during that period. And I think that was one of the main reasons as to why Kerry would just turn them over and then it was straight down the other end and inevitably another score.
I guarantee you Horan said it to them, because afterwards he said to the media, struggled in the middle of the field, David Moran caught a lot of ball in the first half, and then the ball that we did get, we kicked away a huge percentage of it. So that is something they'll be reflecting on. The flip side, Kieran, is that David Moran was a joy to watch. Like, it was just brilliant to watch that fielding. And as for, I mean, the supporting cast, Clifford, geez. I never thought it was a case of hype about Clifford, but God, it was good to see him deliver on that occasion. And even the pass he put in along the ground to Ganey, you could just watch that over and over again. that he is seeing those pictures, that time is moving that slowly for someone not on the inter-county scene a long time. It was compared on the TV coverage to the Gooch's pass against Dublin. You know, Gooch is a very experienced player at that stage. To see all the pictures, we had Mike Quirk on yesterday and he was even saying, like, Clifford's ball along the ground there, it dictated the run Gainey made. Gainey didn't actually make the run. Clifford was just so on top of the scene, he put the ball and forced Gainey to run that way. He was awesome.
Yeah, look, you know, like Gooch, he's just a special talent. And, you know, Gooch at 19 would have seen that pass too. Yeah. And Clifford would have seen the pass Gooch played against Dublin that time. I don't think age has anything to do with it. These guys just see these things, you know.
Okay.
Like, it didn't take Messi until he was 27 or 28 to start figuring out where the holes and the gaps were and how to play guys through. He was doing it the minute he came on the scene. So special players are with them talents and the way they see the game. You know, but it was great to see him in full flight, and it was great to see Dave Moran in full flight. And to be honest, if I was the Kerry management team, I'd be trying to put a full press on the opposition's kickouts all of the time, because what do Kerry struggle with? Kerry struggle with a running game. That's the perception out there. We struggle with a running game. What starts a running game? Allowing teams to get short kickouts or get kickouts out around the 45 where they're half turned and they're running at you, and that becomes a running game. Fellas get excited and they go. Whereas when you press up in them, like Kerry did against Dublin in 16, and like they had four on the inside line the last day to take away the short one. I'd be trying to get them in that type of a push press, especially if a team is playing against the breeze, because you saw what Clark had to do. You know, he'd nothing on short. And what did he have to do then? He had to go long. But if you go long 20 times, the law of averages, you're going to win 10 and probably lose 10. But if you let a team go short 20 times, they're probably going to win 19 and you might get one. But then 19 possessions make a huge difference. And when Kerry are winning the ball in the middle of the field and Dave Moran is playing as well as he played the last day, and you keep kicking the ball out to him and you keep forcing it out, and Kerry are winning that and they're getting it into the Cliffords and the Gainey's inside. That's why I said it was perfect world stuff for Kerry, because that's what it was. So I think that's a huge thing for Kerry to look at going forward. You know, to try and how do we get Gainey and Clifford on ball, and how do we stop them having to track fellas?
Yeah.
We stop that by making them kick it out. And if Kerry can make the opposition kick it long more often than not, which is hard in the modern game because the keepers have it down, but I think you can have it in place where certainly from freeze that you're in some type of a press. And I think you can, honestly, I think you can be in a fairly aggressive press for most of the game if your guys are on top of that. But you know, like it with Kerry, were moving well the last day because they had total dominance around the middle of the field. They made Clark go long.
Yeah.
They didn't have much of a running game to face because Mayo weren't getting too many short kickouts. Kerry weren't turning over the ball, so they didn't have too much running game to deal with. And then Kerry looked quite comfortable as a defence. And why I'm looking forward to next weekend is Donegal won't give away the ball like Mayo the last day. Donegal have a real plan, a real strategy from the kickouts. Patton and Murphy and Ryan McHugh are almost telepathic. They've worked on it so much under Stephen Rochford and Declan Bonner that Michael Murphy, when the minute the ball comes dead, he turns his back, he heads out the middle of the field, he surveys what's going on. If there's space right, he pushes his man, he breaks off to the right, and Patton's hitting him, and Donegal are away with runners coming off of that. So it'll be a real good test to Kerry. And you know, Kerry will take confidence in the last day, but I'm pretty sure as a bunch of players, when they look at that game back, they'll see how poor Mayo were, and they'll take confidence from how well they put Mayo to the sword. But if you look at it, Kerry won by 9 points. Killian O'Connor hit the crossbar when he should have scored in front of the goals, and he missed a penalty. So the two of them go in, and all of a sudden it's a 3-point game after Kerry being, as people are saying since the game yesterday, Kerry were wonderful and Mayo were awful. Yet Killian O'Connor should have got those two goals and it'd be a 3-point game. So I think there's loads for Kerry to work, and I honestly do. That's not
You've explained it well. It was a perfect. Everything went well for them. Yeah, everything went well for them, and they're going to have. They won't have that dominance against a top team again.
No, Kerry will do that for you if you give them the ball like that. If you give away the ball the way Mayo did, and you kick it out, and Dave Moran has the game he has in the middle of the field, Kerry will do that to anybody. But I think what they're going to face next week is a much more tactically aware Donegal team. They really know what they're about under restarts. And it looked to me like Mayo, when Mayo couldn't get the quick one away, it kind of looked like we'll bang it out long, you know. Whereas Donegal have real strategy, they're creating space. I stood above in Ballybuffet the last day. I went out for the last 10 minutes of it to watch it live outside to see what they were doing, because they were really keeping possession off every kick out at that stage. Murphy was a joy to watch, and his understanding with Patton, and McHugh diving off him. And they got one of the ones like they got against Dublin in 2014, that famous one that they knock it long and Murphy jumps up and taps it down to an oncoming runner. You know, Kerry are going to have to be really aware of all those things when it comes to Croke Park Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing, actually. A litmus test for both teams, Donegal and Kerry, the two that are talked about as the pretenders to the crown. OTBAM, as you know, Kieran, is our breakfast show here. It's brought to you by Avantcard, powered by MasterCard. Anthony Moyles was on this morning, giving his thoughts on the other big story of the weekend, Dermot Connolly's return. Have a listen.
It is an odd one. You know, like, I mean, if he gets his visa sorted out, he goes to America, right? So if I'm on that panel and I'm working away, if I'm Bernard Brogan and I'm getting myself back from my, you know, my injuries, and I'm working hard and I'm doing a serious amount of stuff on my own to get back, and I'm really, really, really pushing, and then a guy comes back onto the panel, albeit, of course, that he is the player that he is, and he's been there, and he's won things for them, and he has massively helped them win things. But, you know, his first choice this year was to go to the States. So he comes back into the panel. I'm kind of surprised by it. I didn't think Gavin would be, you know, I didn't think this would be something that he would go for. I thought he obviously would speak to him before the potential America trip and say, listen, you have a choice here. You either go there or you come back in with us, and we'll welcome you back with open arms.
It's certainly an amazing story, Billy Joe. I mean, your thoughts. Jim Gavin has built this kind of perfect ecosystem based on dedicating yourself to Dublin. That's a phrase he always used. The players have dedicated themselves to Dublin on being in the team on merit, on a kind of sense of equality. He is making an exception for an exceptional talent here. Does this have, in your opinion, any real significant potential to backfire in any way?
No. But I get where Moyles is coming from, and I kind of sometimes wonder, maybe a bit tongue-in-cheek, you know, are they just sick of the GAA media talking about Dublin's financial advantage, and now we're all talking about Dermot Connolly coming back into the squad? So if anything, it has changed the narrative in that regard. But the question you ask is really, Jim Gavin is the one man that probably can retain harmony in a squad, bringing back a player like Dermot Connolly, because Dermot Connolly has served Dublin very well in the past. I'm sure he's a very good teammate. I've never heard anything against that. From his own point of view, if he can't go to America, I'm sure he'd love to be involved in the summer months with an exceptional Dublin team, and with the hope that he can play some minutes and have a part to play in what could be a historic five in a row for them. But I also retain that it could upset some of the older players on the squad. But I just think that Jim will still run the squad in terms of who is playing well. It's really a meritocracy, and who is playing well will get the minutes. And I think he has proven that reputations have not counted for much in the past, whether you're Bernard Brogan or Jim McConnelly or fellas that have done it all at an exceptionally high level. All that matters to him is who's performing for me now and who's going to do the job for me right now. And I think Jim has stuck to those guns, and that's the way he'll run the squad for the rest of the year.
Kieran, where are you in it?
I'm a few places on it. To be honest, the timing of it doesn't make sense to me. Whatever the issues have been, like, first of all, Dermot Connolly is not in contract. He's not a professional player. You know, he's a Dublin man. He's been a major part of why Dublin are where they are today. He's been there for three of those All-Irelands and the one in 2011. And if he wants to play for Dublin and Jim wants him to play, happy days, Dublin are dead right. And Peter Canavan was talking to me the last day about they brought Stephen O'Neill in 3 weeks before the All-Ireland final against us in 2008. Why did they bring him in? Because I felt Mickey Hart probably felt they needed Stephen O'Neill. And you know what? He was right, because Stephen O'Neill was nearly the difference on the day. He played quite well in the day and he gave him big time oxygen. And, you know, he was catapulted in 3 weeks before an All-Ireland final against Kerry, who were going for three in a row that year. So, you know, this is Dermot Connolly's in great shape. He's as fit as a fiddle. You know, he's obviously an unbelievable GAA player. So I've no problem with all of that. Just the timing of it and the fact that he was actually, as Miles, he said, the fact that he was on a plane, wanted to go to New York, didn't go. And now it's kind of like, oh, well, I couldn't go to New York, so I'll go back to Dublin. I just don't know what's happened. I'd love to know what's happened. And maybe if one of them write a decent book in maybe 5 or 6 years, we'll all find out. But just the fact that where this has come from and why now, it would be the question I'd have, you know. But like, you know, for Dublin, it's just another feather in their bow. Like, I think, you know, conceivably Jim knows they'll probably win the All Ireland without Dermot Connolly. So I just, the timing of it, why now? Why wasn't this sorted out back before last year? Why wasn't it started the league? Why wasn't it sorted out at the end of the league? But at the end of the day, you know, it's like they've signed a free agent and they've got LeBron James and they're a step away from a championship. It's gold for a dub, for the Dubs on the hill. They'll be absolutely delighted. Yeah. Connolly's a darling of the hill, and you know, I don't see the players having much issue with it once they go and win the 5 in a row. I think everyone will be pretty happy.
And in the meantime, noses at a joint, maybe one or two players saying, geez, I've been here slogging it out in January, and yeah, you know, but that dies away?
I think it does, and to be honest with you, you know, I don't think you've time to have your nose out of place in the Dublin setup, Joe. You know, it's not a setup. I don't think they put up with fellas feeling sorry for themselves. I don't think they put up with fellas, you know, bitching about not getting enough time, any of them kind of issues. I really do think it's kind of like, here's your jersey, you're 24, this is what I want you to do. Here is your jersey, you're number 14, this is what I want you to do. And if you don't do it, I'll find somebody else who will. And that's the luxury they have. They have the big squad, and they're able to play everybody, and they're able to play, like, Bernard Brogan hasn't even played yet, and he's supposed to be flying and training, chomping at the bit. So, you know, they have an absolute mass of luxuries at the moment at their disposal. And, you know, it's going to take a really, really good day, a really good team to beat them. And they'll have to have a bad day. And, you know, Connolly just adds to that. If they do have one of those bad days in the semi-final or a final, and they do have a day where people aren't firing, you know, and Connolly comes on and hauls them over the line, which he's very well capable of doing, it'll be looked back as a masterstroke and something that had to be done. So, you know, I think it's something that had to be done, Joe, but I just don't know why it took this long. That's my only issue.
No, it's a fair point. Dublin 5-18 to Cork's 1-17. Billy Joe, not a good reflection on the game for people just looking at the scoreline. It was a really good, enjoyable contest. Cork dictated the terms in many ways. They went for it. Their running game that we saw against Kerry was in evidence again against Dublin. Paul Kerrigan, amongst others, was brilliant. Like, for a while in that first half, until Jack McCaffrey almost rolled up his sleeves and said, frankly, I've had enough of this nonsense. They were causing Dublin reasonable problems. I don't think anyone thought they were ultimately going to win. But it was decent fare. What did you make of Dubs?
I thought the Dubs were always in control, even in those early stages. Okay. And I was impressed again. But look, you have to give credit to Cork in many ways. In terms of, if you're a neutral there, it's a much better spectacle watching the game with the way Cork went about their business and the way they tried to play football. Now, the question is, did it give them a better chance of winning the game on the day? I'm not so sure. Now, can Cork put in a defensive system that would be able to hold out the Dubs? Definitely not at this stage in their development. And they probably would have required the way they played and every shot to go in the back of the net or over the bar. And at the minute, it's the Dubs that are showing that sort of level of efficiency. So it was never really in doubt for me.
Right.
But I think you see the ruthlessness of the Dublin team in that last stages. You know, they get the goals just before half time. They get the goals in injury time at the end. And it just kills the opposition. And Cork on the whole basis of play didn't deserve to lose by that much. But you have to admire the way Dublin play, and those players, whether it's McCaffrey or Fenton, even Philly McMahon got in on the act, he looked sharp. They were just so confident, so aggressive, so willing to take chances to get up the field and create scores, because they know that even if they concede, they always have the ability to come back. Nothing is fazing them. Nothing is worrying them. And they're an absolute credit in terms of just their mentality throughout the game, and they looked so strong. And I was really, really impressed, because it could have been easy for Dublin to go into that game against Cork, which shows some level of complacency. And maybe you can say that the opening 5 or 6 minutes was that. But what team can deal with that complacency and sort it out in 5 or 6 minutes? Usually when a team starts that way, it takes them a long time to get grind the gears again. But this Dublin team were just up and running after a couple of minutes, and it's really incredibly impressive.
Kieran, the clock is coming against us badly here. A brief word on Roscommon Tyrone, seeing as you were there. Any big takeaways?
Yeah, I thought Roscommon could be quite proud of themselves. They put in a good show, in fairness. Just Tyrone are so hard to break down, you know. I was talking to somebody last night, like, and I was like, you know, the way Dave Moran was spraying passes around the place yesterday was gorgeous, and the Kerry people were waxing lyrical about it. And I was just kind of in the back of my mind, deep down in the dark place, I was just thinking, if that was Tyrone and then bodies everywhere back there, like, Dave can't just move.
There's
the
no spraying then.
Like that.
Yeah.
There's no spraying then, yeah. No, so Tyrone are really, you know, they're the second team for me in the country at the moment, and they're there because I genuinely believe that they're the one team, in my eyes, that they'll cause Dublin the most problems from the way their style of play. And not their style of play, Joe, it's how sure they are of their style of play. And they have two of them. They have the one where everybody's back and McShane's up front by themselves, but they have the one that they kind of introduced for a few league games, and they did really well. So they've got good confidence in the system. But I think the system they have now is the all reliable. It's 13 behind the ball. It's McShane up front by themselves. It's draw you into contact. It's turn you over. It's counter-attack. Hit McShane. Runners off him. Sludden, Darren McCurry, Matty Donnelly. And they're kicking points for fun. But, you know, the Rossies put up a good show. And they were, you know, probably a bit unlucky. They hit the crossbar and they missed a few goal chances. So, you know, they'll be gutted now having to go to the neutral venue and play Dublin next week.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough way to have to bounce back. Lads, we'll leave it there. Brilliant stuff. Kieran Donnelly, thanks so much. Billy Joe, thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Cheers. We've got Luke Jensen talking about the tennis next. GAA on Off the Ball.